thousands of cheering supporters attended a rally for American President Donald Trump at an aircraft hangar over the weekend, a month into his presidency. He defended his record and attacked the media again.
The dishonest media, which has published one false story after another, with no sources, even though they pretend they have them, they make them up in many cases. They just don't want to report the truth, and they've been calling us wrong now for 2 years. They don't get it, but they're starting to get it. I can tell you that. They've become a big part of the problem. They are part of the corrupt system. Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, and Abraham Lincoln, and many of our greatest presidents fought with the media and called them out, oftentimes, on their lies. When the media lies to people, I will never, ever let them get away with it. I will do whatever I can that they don't get away with it. They have their own agenda, and their agenda is not your agenda.
Well, we managed to get an interview with the deputy assistant to President Trump. It's a man called Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He knows Donald Trump well. He works with him, alongside him, in the White House. I began by asking him why he thought the media would go out of their way to lie about Trump.
Well, I think, you know, it depends upon the individual outlet, depends upon the individual journalist. But we've just seen, especially in the last year and a half during the campaign here in America, that there are so many journalists that just have their own political agenda, and they allow that to bleed through into their writing. So there's just the lack of control over their own personal bias. And on top of that, I think there's a larger issue. I think some of the legacy publications, the big ones, like the New York Times, CNN, and others, they're just not keeping up with developments. They're not really functioning as the social media age would have them function. So they think that they have the monopoly of access. They have the monopoly of truth. And they just don't like it when somebody like President Trump goes around them straight to the people who elected them, tweets, holds amazing rallies in aircraft hangars. They see that as a threat to their vaunted status as a legacy publications or legacy outlets.
Of course, a lot of those same media outlets, Sebastian, have got their own Twitter accounts. They've got their own Facebook pages. They are in that digital age themselves, aren't they? Don't you think that President Trump is alienating the good journalists along with the bad when he makes these sweeping statements? Does he not need to rein it in a little?
Having a Twitter account doesn't mean you understand how to use it, and doesn't mean that you're connecting with an audience in a way that the 21st century really requires. And no, you know, as somebody who's inside the White House and who sees just how incredibly distorted things are, and also just how false some of the reporting is. You know, I come in every morning, 7 a.m., I open the newspapers, and I can tell you, I've never worked in the White House before. When I read stories, majority of the stories in the big papers about issues where I was in the room the day before when that decision was being taken, and it bears no resemblance. It is literally 180 degrees out of sync with reality. You know, you finally realize that, you know, quoting anonymous sources may protect your sources, but when you don't have any and you're just cutting things from whole cloth, that's when you lose credibility, even if you've been around for decades. That's the problem.
Well, let's take an example that's closer to home for us on this network, on the BBC, okay? So John Sopel is our North America correspondent. A journalist who has been respected in Britain, Sebastian, for decades. Before he even speaks to President Trump, the president says, "Where are you from?" He says, "The BBC." And he says, and Mr. Trump says, "Oh boy, another beauty." It kind of just denigrates his status before he starts. This is President Trump, doesn't it? That he is taking an opinion on a journalist that is so well respected over here, that he is just belittling his position of presidency by tarring everyone, and indeed the BBC, an organisation known for its impartiality throughout the world.
Look, I think positing that the president doesn't have the right to do that. Does the president not have the right to have an opinion about whether or not a news source is biased or not? And I'm sorry, you had that reputation decades ago, but you just don't have it anymore. You've lost it, whether it was with Brexit, whether it's with President Trump. You are not the vaunted Auntie Beeb anymore.
It would be totally banal, wouldn't it, for me to suggest that everything that President Trump says is lies, that he's a liar, that he's biased. That would be completely facile of me to do so. And therefore, equally, it's facile, surely, for the president to denigrate the whole of the BBC when a journalist stands up and hasn't even asked the question.
I think your show itself, the fact that we have to talk about this, is indicative of just how serious the problem is. When I grew up in the UK, the BBC, Auntie Beeb, did have that reputation of being unimpeachable. You don't have it anymore, and that's why your colleague paid the price. It's a collective issue that your credibility has gone down the plunk hole, especially after Brexit. And when a president recognizes that fact, that's not for us to fix, that's for the BBC to fix.
What about the theory that what Trump is trying to do, Sebastian, is belittle and carve away at the reputation of major news networks who will hold him to account, so that when he actually deserves to be held to an account, that he's trying to belittle the media? It's about accountability, this, isn't it? It's about a free press.
Yeah, I don't think the freedom of the press is something you need to worry about. I think the issue here is how disconnected certain elements of the press are with the base that elected this man to be the commander-in-chief of the United States. It's a question of the chattering classes being in their own little echo chambers that are again and again and again attacking relentlessly with a political agenda. And we're just saying, look, we don't need to go through your distortions. We don't have to go through the lens of some elite media organ to actually connect with and communicate with the people out there who wish to support the administration. That's all it is. Anything that posits anything more nefarious really risks getting into the kind of fake news zone.
But if the media is that irrelevant and that powerless compared to Mr. Trump's Twitter feed, why does he spend so much time criticizing the media?
Well, it's not the media that's irrelevant. It's those people in the media who think they have the monopoly of the truth, and that their prestige from 30 years ago means that they should be treated specially. No, it's not the media. It's certain parts of the media that have a bias and have an agenda. That's what we don't like seeing again and again and again. And we don't like when we see just things that are patently false. You know, the accusations made against the White House are just really beyond the pale. The idea that a man whose grandchildren are Jewish, whose daughter converted to Orthodox Judaism, somehow has created an anti-Semitic White House coterie, that's when you lose your credibility, and that's what we're pushing back against.
Yeah, Michael Flynn would probably still be in his job if it weren't for the media, wouldn't he?
Well, that's another issue. Oh my gosh. When a federal crime is committed by releasing the transcripts of intelligence intercepts, oh my dear, I mean, that is, and that's not the story. Some putative phone call about sanctions, which may or may not have happened. No. Let's talk about that.
So why did the president ask for his resignation then?
The intelligence agencies leaked a transcript of a surveillance intercept with the name of a senior U.S. government official that by law should have been redacted but wasn't, and the whole transcript was driven to the Washington Post. That should be the story.
Why did President Trump ask for Flynn's resignation then?
Oh, very simply, because the vice president made statements on Sunday news shows that didn't comport with what the general later said had happened. So there was a trust. There was an issue of trust there. And being the national security advisor is a position that requires the ultimate level of trust.
So there was a contradiction. There was a contradiction then in President Trump's message. One moment he was saying that the media had hounded Michael Flynn and it was because of the media that he lost his job and he was a good man. And the next minute, President Trump saying that he asked for his resignation.
But these two things are not mutually exclusive. Life's a little bit more complicated than that. I worked for General Flynn for 2 months in his transition team. And I can tell you, as a fact, that he was hounded for months, even before he formally took on the position of National Security Advisor. He was hounded mercilessly. And that doesn't mean that he didn't make a mistake or that the vice president or the president didn't have a good reason for accepting his resignation. These two things are not mutually exclusive, Steve.
What happened in Sweden that he was talking about?
Florida. Well, it could be to do with many of the things that have happened in Sweden in over recent months with regards to refugees, with sexual assault.
He said what happened in Sweden last night is what he said. What happened in Sweden the night before?
You'd have to ask him. You'd have to ask him. I'm not in Florida with him, so I don't know what he was referring to, and I didn't write his speech, so I haven't seen him since. But to say that there isn't a problem in Sweden, if you look, just Google, you know, rape attacks, rape culture, immigration, just Google it right now. I think that's probably what the president was referring to.
But it couldn't be, because he said what happened in Sweden last night.
See, this is where you start losing your credibility. When you start to fixate and obsess on half a sentence, and we're talking about the prestige of the media in general, this is demonstrating the problem that you have when it comes to credibility. Let's talk about how this is the flavor of the month, how this is how we are treated, and not about the bigger issues. It's never about policy. It's about weird accusations, Russia this, Russia that. It's never, never, never about real policies, real issues.
So,
it's not about what we're doing in the White House. It's not about what we've done in the last 4 months. It's about let's lock on to half a sentence in a speech and let's make that the story. Doesn't that sound a bit weird to you?
Here's what President Trump said. He says, we've got to keep our country safe. You look at what's happening in Germany. You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden. Who would believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Sweden. They took in large numbers. They're having problems like they've never thought possible. So obviously, if one of the most powerful leaders in the world is saying, look at what's happening in Sweden last night, obviously every journalist worth their salt is going to think, well, what major did happen in Sweden last night? And I can't find it, nor can anyone else. What was he talking about?
Well, I'm not party to his daily intelligence brief. You'll probably find out on Tuesday.
Tell me this, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Give me an insight into President Trump's mood at the moment in his early days as president. Yes, he was a very successful business person, but this is new. Politics is new to him now. How is he finding it? Are they longer days than his previous life?
This is a man who on the campaign trail in any one day visited four different states and did nine events. This is a man who sleeps about 3 or 4 hours. If I had his energy at my age, at my age right now, I'd be grateful. So, no, you just have to look at the rally last night. He is ebullient. The mood is incredible. You look at what we've achieved in just the first 4 weeks. I feel like I've been at it for 6 months already, the amount of stuff that we've managed to achieve. So the mood is as high as it could be, because we feel that the people who elected us to office are seeing just how much we wish to achieve for them and are putting down on the table as part of that promise. So the mood is great.
Whatever happened to Trump's promise to lock Hillary Clinton up, to appoint a special prosecutor? What happened to that promise?
So, again, this is where you lose credibility. So he's in a debate, okay? And he makes a statement for the audience. He makes one that has rhetorical flourish. And this is what you want to talk about. He's only just installed his attorney general. His attorney general is the most senior law enforcement official in the land. It is not the president's job to lock anybody up. If there is a case to be made, the case will be investigated and the attorney general will bring a determination as to whether she should be prosecuted. But the idea that you would seriously take, again, it's that nano soundbite that obsesses the left-wing media, and you want to seriously ask me about a nanosecond soundbite instead of real policies.
Yeah, you don't have to go on the attack with me every time I ask a question.
But let's you're doing
just
it twice in a row.
Let's just have a
now it's lock her up. Let's talk about policy.
Well, let's just have a conversation. And part of the conversation I'm having with you is that Donald Trump when he was running for office, said he would appoint a special prosecutor in order to go after Hillary Clinton. He's not going to do that anymore, is he?
What do you base that on?
Well, has he done it yet?
But what do you base your conclusion on that he won't?
Because Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager, said that he wouldn't do it.
The fact is, there's nothing that necessarily stops him from taking that decision should he so wish to.
Here's what he said. Here's what Conway said on MSNBC. She said, "I think when the president-elect, who's also the head of your party, tells you before he's even inaugurated that he doesn't wish to pursue these charges, it sends a very strong message," she said.
Okay, that doesn't mean he doesn't want to do it necessarily at all. He's sending a message to his party, but that doesn't mean he's not going to do it should he so wish to. This is up to the law enforcement officials in his government who have just been put in office. So that decision is completely optional. He may do it, he may not do it, but to say that in the beginning of the fifth week it's out of the question because you determine it to be so, again, is just fallacious.
But when you say, Sebastian, he may not do it, he promised his voters, the electorate, that he would do it. So why is that now changed?
Where was the promise? Where was the promise?
When he said, "I will appoint a special prosecutor."
When was the exact... Yeah, does that mean he's going to prosecute her today or tomorrow? Was there any time factor given? Did he say February the 20th? Did he say March the 13th? He didn't. So why are you so eager to have her prosecuted?
I'll just quote you the words. "I didn't think I'd say this, and I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it. If I win, I'm going to instruct my Attorney General to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there's never been so many lies, so much deception," he said.
Okay.
I guess the point I'm making, Sebastian, is... Is he going to keep all of his promises or just some of them? And every time the media challenges Trump...
I know it's shocking for most people that he's kept so many of his promises already, whether it's the hiring freeze, TTP, the selection of a new Supreme Court justice, whether it's unfettering the coal industry, whether it's his ban on immigrants from dangerous countries. I know that's shocking that in just 4 weeks we've achieved all that, but give us a chance. I mean, we don't want to achieve everything in just the first 31 days.
Do you think the relationship with the media will get better or worse in the coming months and years?
Great question. Absolutely, totally up to the media. If the media... Doesn't behave in a way that is so blatantly biased. Just compare the last 4 weeks. All of your listeners, compare the last 4 weeks to the last 8 years of how Obama was treated. If the media looks in the mirror and sees just how crooked they have been in terms of their political agenda, depending upon who's in the White House, whether they're a Democrat or a Republican, then the relationship can be very healthy if they start doing their work in an unbiased fashion. The ball is in the court of the media right now, and the fact is they understand. This is why we have such a vituperative tone coming out of the mainstream media, because they know that we don't need them to transmit our story to the people who voted for us. The president doesn't need to go through the vaunted organs that are sitting on the laurels of prior prestige. When they realize it's not about your letterhead, it's not about the last 50 years of your monopoly, it's about telling the truth in a fair, balanced way, then the relationship can be as healthy as any side could wish it to be.
Yeah, but do you predict it will get better or worse?
Again, that's not up to me to decide. It's up to the BBC, CNN, NBC, New York Times. The ball is in their court.
Do you find Saturday Night Live funny?
I do, yeah. Not all of it. Some of it.
Spicer's impression is hilarious, is it not?
I think a lot of people in the White House, found it amusing. She's a good comedian. I think Sean also, probably found it funny. But what's that got to do with media coverage?
Well, I guess President Trump has said over recent weeks that he thinks Saturday Night Live has crossed the line now into evil. It's a bit far, isn't it?
Are we talking about media coverage or are we talking about comedy skits?
Well, exactly.
So I didn't come up to talk about
Saturday Night Live's a comedy skit, but President Trump's now criticising Saturday Night Live as well. That's the point.
When SNL writers target his children, yeah, it gets a little bit beyond the pale.